Well, good evening and welcome to White Spot Giants this week here on Sportsnet 650. The usual Monday evening show could not be this week because of the playoff hockey going down in the NHL. So here we are on a Thursday and we are loving every second of it. My name is Dan O'Connor, voice of the Vancouver Giants, and we are setting record-setting temperature outside. But inside, we are still doing our best to talk a little bit of hockey. Coming up tonight in segment number two, we're going to head to Prince Albert. We are going to catch up with the voice of the Prince Albert Raiders. We're going to have Trevor Redden join the show, find out what's going on in Prince Albert. Of course, well-documented, the Vancouver-Prince Albert connection. Those two communities will be forever linked together thanks to the WHL final of 2019. But to start off the show, I'm very excited about this. Going to be chatting in a moment with a fellow who is a former Vancouver Giant, somebody who ended up spending parts of five seasons in the Western Hockey League, a fellow who's actually from the nearby area, actually grew up in White Rock and kind of has some connections all throughout British Columbia, but very pleased to be joined by Vancouver Giants alumnus Scott Cook. And we're going to take a trip down memory lane, talk a little bit about his tenure with the Giants, and also find out a little bit about what life looks like for him today. Scott, it's been too long, man. Thanks for finally taking the time to come on this show. It's great to finally connect with you. How are you? I hope you're staying somewhat cool in the Kamloops heat this weekend.
Hi, Dan. Thanks so much for having me on. Well, it's quite an intro. how are things with you? I heard you just got married and you're up in Prince George. It sounds exciting.
Yeah, you know what? It's been busy. Was up in Prince George for much of July and then back down here just doing my part to get ready for some good news. And as August turns into September and a WHL return to play on December 4th, just trying to stay ready, trying to stay sharp. But happily married now for almost a month and trying to play a little bit of golf and trying to do my part to distance and get rid of this pandemic so that we can get some hockey being played. But again, a bit of a background for those that might not be familiar with how you and I kind of came to be associated with one another. You and I have a mutual friend down here named Joe Leary, and he kind of mentioned to me over lunch one day that he was talking with you a little bit back and forth and suggested that, you know, you were interested in kind of the sports broadcasting aspect of things and that you were kind of looking forward and looking for an opportunity to kind of share some of your stories and memories from your time in the game. So here we are. Let's dive in. Drafted by the Vancouver Giants, Scott, in the fifth round of 2009. Was it a slam dunk to play in the WHL for you, or were you considering the Junior A path as well? And what ultimately kind of sold you on the Giants back then?
Well, probably a good way to start off there, Dan. I was drafted by the Giants back in 2009 in the fifth round. I didn't really know too much about the drafts, you know, coming into it in Bantam. Like, I just liked playing hockey because it was just that much fun. And, you know, my dad told me that there was going to be people watching you and, you know, you got to, you know, keep doing your thing and playing hard and some stuff might happen for you. So I was fortunate enough to be drafted in the fifth round. They brought me out to camp and didn't really think too much about going the Junior A routes. They kind of sold, you know, with the scholarship program and how they develop their players. And, you know, who wouldn't want to play for their hometown, you know, growing up, you know, loving the Giants and, you know, coming up behind guys like, you know, Brendan Gallagher and Craig Cunningham, like Lance Boma, Neil Manning, guys like that, and kind of seeing like they know how to run like a professional outfit. And that's kind of my first kind of step into the program. They brought me out to camp as a 15-year-old and they were just cutting guys every day. And there were no guarantees, right? Like, they brought guys out, some guys who were drafted, some guys were just listed. And I was fortunate enough to stick around all the way to the end. And it was myself, Dalton Sword, and Matt Bellerivas, 15-year-olds, who were the only kids on the ice with cages. And this was the first time I was ever exposed to hockey where there was fighting involved. And I'm telling you, Dan, I was so scared just because of the amount. Like, Evander Kane was on the ice, too. He actually fought Galley. In the very last inter-squad game right before exhibition started. And I was like, holy crap, like, here we go, like, WHL hockey, like, at its finest. So they had that little, well, you said you're from Tawasin, they had that little Ladner Leisure Center, right, packed with people. Like, like an absolute blast. So I guess I showed well enough. And as a 15-year-old, I got hacked. I got cut to go back to Major Midget, played there. And I didn't make the team as a 16-year-old, but I ended up making the team as a 17-year-old. They called me up when I was 16, when my Major Midget season ended. And I came up at the end of the year and just started practicing with the team and kind of getting, you know, into Don Hayes' systems. And, you know, you talk about like having a, you know, a couple of great coaches with like Don Hayes and Glenn Hanlon and, you know, Scott Bonner as a GM and like his dad, Terry, who drafted me, like, you know, talk about a really, you know, quality organization, you know, with the toy goes and stuff. And, you know, so it's, anyways, I ended up coming up in, as a 16-year-old towards the end of the season. Got my first fight actually in front of almost 16,000 people. It was a teddy bear toss. It wasn't a teddy bear toss. It was like you could win a car or something like that. And I couldn't believe how much the game shifted from when I got in that fight and how our total momentum, we were down. We were playing Kelowna, big rivalry always, just like playing you guys when you were probably calling Prince George back then.
Right.
And, we ended up playing well enough and got slotted in the next game. And I trained in the off season with Ian Gallagher, so Brendan's dad. And, you know, starting to kind of, well, everything started to kind of form kind of in a row that I might be able to make something of this hockey career. And super close, like being in Tawasin, I would take my little car and bomb out there 5 days a week. And, you know, Gally had an awesome training program for us. And, like, there's lots of pro guys who come back and train with them. Like, we were training with, like, you know, Milan Lucic and like, Colton Tubert and Ryan Olsen and, like, you know, just to name a couple of guys, you know. So, Jordan Martinuk, like, just a, yeah, so. Trying to name off these guys from 10 years ago, like, but I ended up kind of battling a couple injuries. I separated my shoulder my first game against Prince Albert when I was 16. I broke my wrist and hand when I was 17. Broke two ribs, tore the joint off my sternum when I was 18, and then I actually broke my leg when I was 19, the very last game before the regular season started. And we had so many 19-year-olds that were kind of wondering, like, you know, where is this going to go? And I really respect Scott Bonner. He pulled me into his office and he said, hey, like, we have 7 19-year-olds, and as you know, we can only keep 3. So, you know, you can stick around here if you want on your 19-year-old year, but you're not going to be back as a 20. And I really respected him for that. It's just, you know, it's just how the cards fell. And he gave me a list of options of places that I might be able to go. And I said, sure, yeah, I'd be open to that. It was nothing against, you know, what was going on. I loved being there. And they ended up throwing out, like, Moose Jaw and Swift Current, and they would be kind of like a top 6 role. So I was open to it. I ended up going to Moose Jaw, 19-year-old year, and everyone on that team was about 5 foot. So I came in at 6'2", and had a little bit of a presence. So I didn't really have a lot of goals yet. So I wasn't really sure how they were gonna like me at that point, but Mike Stellers was the coach. He brought me in, and he put me on the first line with Braden Point. And if you know him, he's making about $6 million a year right now. So yeah, he was pretty. Him and Sam Fioretti, he was in center, and I just kind of turned into that role where I was not really gonna take any crap from anybody. And unfortunately for me in Vancouver, I didn't really have that big type of role, so I took it. I liked it. And I really liked playing there. So that was kind of my 19-year-old year and ups and downs, and ended up nestled together. I don't know how many fights that year, probably 15 or something like that. But ended up putting together a few more goals than in Vancouver.
Well, so let me stop you there, because you've hit on a number of topics already, Scott, in that answer that I want to dive a little bit deeper into. But let's go to March 17th, 2013. Final game of the season for you in your 17-year-old season. You scored your first WHL goal against the Kelowna Rockets. What do you remember about the play?
I couldn't believe it. It was kind of, if I remember that first goal, I mean, I still have the puck. It was kind of a scramble in front. Like, it definitely wasn't a pretty one. I think there was like a scramble in front, and I think that the D-man like fell on their own goalie, and I just like pushed it in with my backhand and definitely celebrated pretty hard. So I think we took that one to that tied it up, and then we took it to a shootout, and I think we won it. But that was the first goal, and I definitely won't forget that one. I think my parents still have the puck at their house.
So we're chatting right now with Scott Cook. He's a former Vancouver Giant, played 121 games in the WHL over the course of five seasons, two playoff games with the Giants in that 2011 season as well. And then, of course, we'll get into life after hockey here in a moment, Scott. But so you know, drafted fifth round, you come in and you mentioned how the older you got, the more experienced you got, the more you kind of started to gain that reputation, I suppose, of being an energy guy and being a guy that can handle himself physically. Now, was that always a part of your DNA as a player, or did that part of your game sort of evolve as you got a little older and as you maybe got a little more familiar and experienced with the league?
Well, I think there's a lot of good points there. Yeah, definitely I was always a high-energy guy. I didn't have the best hands. You know, I was kind of more of a chip-and-chase kind of guy. But it really evolved from, like, Bantam and Midget. I loved to check people. It's just something that really got me going. You know, it got, you know, our teammates, our whole bench was into it. And, of course, it later on evolved to getting the crowd into it. And then I fed off that. And in my younger years, there was no fighting in hockey. So you can make a big hit and nobody would do anything. But then when that turned into my WHL career, then you had the other team standing up saying, hey, you can't do that. So unfortunately for me, that's kind of how the fighting all started coming to fruition. And, you know, after you have 10, 15 fights under your belt, guys on the other team who are playing 2 minutes a night see who has the most fights in their team. And I was getting singled out, and it turned into, like, me looking at center ice with another guy off the bench in the opening faceoff and fighting for no reason just to set the tone. And I was never really into that type of staging in hockey. I didn't think it wasn't part of my game. I always thought I was a little bit better than that. But I was nervous. Like, every game I would be throwing up in the tunnel in the Pacific Coliseum. We have this big cage tunnel and it'd be pitch black, and I'd be totally fine in warmups. But as soon as I had to step on the ice, just before we're about to drop the puck, I'd be puking in there because I know I got to go out there and fight their biggest guy, not because I want to, but because that's what I need to do to stay in the lineup. And fortunately, when you keep doing that, the coach just kind of expects it. And you kind of, no one else is really doing it, but you, when you're also not slotted into the lineup every game as a 17-year-old fourth liner, you kind of got to do what you can to stay in the lineup. If that makes sense?
For sure it does. And I mean, obviously, Scott, I mean, I think so much conversation around the sport in 2020, how far we've come, even in 10 years' time with, you know, all of the research into, you know, post-concussion syndrome and so many things to do with head injuries and what have you. And I don't know if we have enough time necessarily this time to dive fully into that. But I mean, you touched on some of the nerves that would come along with that. Then the trade happens to Moose Jaw. You touched on it a little bit. The whole situation unfolded kind of very honestly, very fairly with you. Braden Point, a teammate of yours in Moose Jaw, you see now what he's doing in the NHL playoffs. Could you see that coming for him even back then?
Absolutely. You know, he was a leader, you know, on and off the ice. You know, definitely a great guy. I sat next to him in the locker room. Actually, I had Morgan Riley's old stall because he wasn't there when I moved in. He was playing with Toronto at the time. And it was great. Like, they welcomed me with open arms. They kind of saw what I provided and what I was doing, and they really liked it. And I know you kind of just touched on it. We could go forever about this hockey and fighting, but in my mind, I think it's so much more violent, you know, having a big open ice hit with a guy who has his head down than two guys who are agreeing to engage in a battle. And people kind of want to take fighting out of hockey, but you see what happens when you don't have it in hockey and people take liberties. And, you know, like I just told you, like, it is nerve-wracking when you're putting that much on the line in front of so many people that you obviously don't want to get hurt and stuff, and you don't want to hurt your opponent, but at the same time, it's still part of the game. And I think it has a really, you know, big impact on how the game's changing at all levels in the NHL, AHL, and in the West Coast.
Having a really interesting conversation right now with Scott Cook. He is an alumnus of the Vancouver Giants, parts of five full seasons in the WHL, 121 games. Much of that spent with the Vancouver Giants before he wrapped up his WHL career in Moose Jaw. And Scott, it really is an interesting conversation. You talk about, I mean, golly, I don't know if the Vancouver Giants all of last season had more than five or six total fights all season. But looking back at your history, looking back at your fight card earlier today, saw some notable battles that happened with the likes of Tanner Lassan was a name that came up a few times with Swift Current. Mark McNulty's name a few times. I mean, was there one guy that you think back that you had like a good, honest, like healthy respect for? One of those guys where, you know, after you do your battle, you have your fight, you look at one another in the penalty box and there's this nod, there's that like attaboy congratulational aspect to it. Or was it strictly, I'm just trying to get the better of you at the other end?
Absolutely not. Yeah, I'm never a guy. I hear guys throw out the word tummy sticks now and some podcasts out there and stuff like that. It's like I could never get into a fight and then give a guy a high five after. Like he's trying to take my face off, and at any instance of a drop of a hat, I could be knocked unconscious, and I have, and I've knocked out other guys. It sucks to see, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to be shaking that guy's hand. Obviously, I got respect for the guy and stuff, but he's on the other team and I'm on one team, so I'm trying to do what I can. The Tanner Lassan fight, it's actually funny how that one worked out. He's a really tough kid, and he's about 160 pounds, like 6'1", and it's not always the big, tough heavyweights you got to look out for. Like, that guy throws bombs, and I didn't want to fight him. I ended up knocking out one of their players when we played Swift Current, because then he was always trying to fight me, and I looked at a couple of his scraps later on, and I didn't really want to fight him because he looked like he was pretty tough, and we ended up fighting once before that. And it was fine. And then we ended up having that scrap that you're referring to. I think it's got a few thousand views on YouTube. And yeah, it was a pretty good one. I don't think I won that one, but it was definitely good to remember.
Few more questions for you, Scott, here on White Spot Giants this week. It's always fascinating when you get to the end of your hockey career because there's. There's a thing, it's a legit thing, you age out of junior hockey, and then because of the Western Hockey League and the scholarship program that it offers, it opened up plenty of doors for you after your playing career was done. But walk us through 19 and 20-year-old seasons, kind of what was going on in your mind, and what were you kind of looking for? I mean, did you know that school was going to be an option for you? Were there pro opportunities? Where was your mindset as you were getting older and more experienced?
So, I'll try and give you the Cole's Notes version here. When I was 20, I got a really bad concussion and I just wasn't getting any better. And I came to the point where I was, taking Tylenol like Skittles, and I wasn't going outside, and I was sleeping all day and I wasn't sleeping all night. So I was taking more pills and felt like there was blood popping to the top of my head. And I knew I really, really screwed up. And for me, I kind of felt like through my career, I'd kind of done everything that I really wanted to. Obviously, every guy wants to go down and make the NHL and stuff. But for me, I kind of said that was it, and that's all I want to do for now. And there's just a farmer crossing over the street here wondering what I'm doing. I'm sitting on the end of my driveway here because I got no service up in the barn. I live out in Pritchard. I actually live in a barn. It's straight out of Roadhouse. It's like this little loft suite, and I'm out here in about 20 minutes to work. So, everyone's kind of wondering what I'm doing here. But no, he's gone now. But 20-year-old Scott, I didn't want to play anymore. I really wanted to go logging. So I applied to every logging company I could in the province wanted to get some experience, and I wanted to go up north and get a little bit of money to kind of figure out where I wanted to be. And both my parents are actually retired police officers. My brother's a police officer. His fiance now, she's a police officer. And when I kind of told them I wanted to go logging, they said, like, you want to go do what? So I ended up taking my little blue sports car from White Rock about 12 hours north to a small town called McKenzie, BC.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Stopped there, and then took my truck about 4 hours north to a place called Jermison Landing, way out in the middle of nowhere, out in camp. I was in the bush for 10 days in a row. I had no experience. I didn't even know what a wrench was, barely. Like, my dad didn't have any tools, and I kind of wanted to give this a try. So ended up going up there, just kind of being like a little bit of a wrench helper, and then ended up getting into a seat, and I started skidding and decking. And actually, back up a little bit, I actually got my class one before I went up there. So I started driving off-highway logs. And if you know what off-highway logs are, well, you're around Prince George, you see them all the time, but people in Vancouver don't really. They're 12-foot-6 bunks, so they're 12-foot-6 wide. They can't go on the highway. They're 86,000 kilograms. So I'm like, sure, that'll be great. Go through the gears up to the block, get loaded coming down. I was so scared down that I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is so dangerous. Like, I want to step back. So I ended up, we were in breakup, and I was down in Kelowna at my parents' house, and I saw that the Okanagan College had an opening for heavy-duty mechanics. So I thought, you know what, I'll go in there and have a look, and kind of liked it a little bit. So ended up putting my name in, and using that, you know, scholarship money, ended up going back to school and got my first year heavy-duty. And now I'm actually just about done my fourth year. I work for John Deere here in Kamloops, and it's been great. I'm super happy. It's 20 minutes to work, and it's quite a change, and people don't actually know much about my WHL past. And then when they hear more about what kind of player I was, they kind of shake their head and go, really? Like, you know, how does a guy who's like this, you know, have this many fights on the ice? And it's not always who you are on the ice, is who you are off, right? You know, so did a lot of work with kids who had mental disabilities and went to schools quite often, you know, through the Giants, doing like the Raise a Reader programs, right. And talking about, you know, the importance of reading and, you know, not doing drugs and staying active. And it's totally, you can totally switch it off. And it was a part of my life, and now I'm totally on to a next chapter. And it's kind of cool to look back and get to do stuff like this. And, you know, it's kind of happy we could reconnect. And it's nice that Joe set us up to do this. And,
well,
I was more than happy to do it.
Well, and Scott, I believe me when I say I'd love to have more conversations like this with you, because I feel like for conversation number one, we are just scratching the surface on some pretty, I think, some pretty important conversations, and also some pretty entertaining ones when it comes to kind of the lifestyle of junior hockey and some of the memories from that. I'll leave you with this tonight. You touched off the very beginning of some of your fond memories when it comes to the Vancouver Giants and the Toygo family, and just some of the experiences and the integrity from those that you encountered. Just kind of like to give you the floor here, last couple of minutes, Scott, just to, I mean, when you do think back about your time with the Giants specifically, I know it's a bit of a loaded vacuum question, but what did that point in time of your life mean to you now with the benefit of years of hindsight?
Yeah, that is quite a loaded question, but yeah, it's just like I mentioned before, Dan, like they treated me so well from the get-go. And actually, I ran into Terry Bonner probably 6 months ago when I was down in Langley, just touring around. I was actually doing a little bit of work, and I ended up running into him. I came to a game, and hadn't seen him forever, and he was the reason that I got drafted to that team. Terry told his dad that he wanted me there, and I was fortunate enough to get drafted into that organization. And they did such a really good job of molding guys and showing guys what it takes to be a pro hockey player, and on and off the ice. Like in that small town of Towson, like, I don't know how they do it. We couldn't get away with anything. Like, away from the rink, like, if we did one thing, like, go, you know, 5 kilometers over the speed limit, somehow Scott Bonner's going to know about us. Like, yeah. They ran a pretty tight ship there, and it was great. It really molds, you know, the kind of people that we are today, that, you know, away from hockey, because it wasn't always like, we were strictly business when we came to the rink. And, you know, Don Hay really, you know, emphasized practice with a purpose, and, you know, we want to be there to learn. Like, he took practices more seriously than games, because those are the developing times where we could use our structures and our systems and really form us to how we are today. And those small details, you know, not only help you on the ice, but they help you off, and have carried me through to my career now. And I think it's kind of good, though, to have a little bit of to not always have concentrated on hockey. Like, when I started coaching these little kids, like, their parents are getting them in, like, hockey for spring hockey, power skating, like, left back over cross flick training. Like, it's so silly. And they're like 8 years old, and they have these Bauer triple X sticks that they don't need. Like, I think it's pretty important to kind of get your kids in all, you know, diverse and different areas of life, right? To kind of, and if it happens for you, it happens, it's great. But a lot of these guys now are, you know, almost 30, who are married with a kid, and they're playing, you know, tier 3 pro in Europe, and then it's finally their time, like all of us, to stop, and they don't know what they're going to do. So I think it's kind of good to do a bunch of stuff in life, and then if it comes together for you, great, but you have different avenues to explore later in life.
Well said. And again, I think you and I are just kind of starting to scratch the surface on some great points of conversation, Scott. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and we've got another guest that we need to get to for segment number two. But thank you for taking the time to come on this show. Thank you for having this conversation. I think the work that you're doing, it all sounds extremely interesting, and it sounds like you've got a great perspective. You've got a great goal and a plan for yourself, and I'm pleased to hear that the Vancouver Giants played a small part in nurturing that for you. So thanks again, Scott Cook, for coming on the show. Looking forward to doing this again soon. And really, buddy, above all else, continued safety, health, and positivity to you and your family as we all kind of navigate a pandemic together.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much, Dan. I really appreciate it. We can definitely do this again.
Scott Cook on White Spot Giants this week here on Sportsnet 650. We're taking a break. We're off to Prince Albert next to chat with Trevor Redden, voice of the Prince Albert Raiders. This is White Spot Giants this week. We'll be back soon.